Lord, on this computer. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord, for another great night with my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Lord, it's going to be an awesome time because you're going to lead everything. And I thank you for it, Father. I ask and I pray, Father, that each prayer has got an open heaven and that it would be answered quickly. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for all the healings, deliverances, provisions, protection, everything needed, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to be led into whatever it is that you'd have us to speak about tonight, in Jesus' name, all of us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight, filling us with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, and I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Well, Father, I just thank you for loosen the bonds that are holding the captives in prison. Set them free, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been defeated and taken care of in your way. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that the bus is coming up the driveway. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lana, or Theo.
Hey, everybody. I
Hey.
wanted to ask for agreement and prayer. We are out visiting Theo's parents this week, and the kids and I have come under attack with runny noses, sneezing, and I think Theo was complaining of either an earache or a throat ache that, praise the Lord, went away overnight after I prayed for him. But it's kind of been nonstop with that and all the kids. So Father God, I thank you for your complete deliverance of this attack from Gabe and Max and little Theo to myself, Father God, that we can breathe clearly, that there are no runny noses, that nobody is suffering to breathe at night, Father God. And we just bind up the enemy and forbid it from continuing this attack. And thank you, Father God, for complete deliverance for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. We hook our faith up with Lana, and it is so. This stuff is gone from them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? You find it, Missy?
I think I found it, but it doesn't have the lyrics. I'm not sure. This is the best
I got it.
video.
I got it. I got
Did
it.
you find it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
Yeah,
you,
I
whoever
just did.
found it. Maybe we
It's
both
called
found
CC Winans Alabaster Box Video. Okay.
There's quite a few out there, but I was looking for one with the lyrics in the one from a long time ago. Anyway, go
Yeah,
for it.
I think this is it. I hope so. Anyway, y'all ready for some good video? Some music? Okay. Just out of curiosity, does anybody in here like gospel? I'm not talking Southern gospel, I'm talking Black gospel. I do. I was brought up on it. I love it. Okay, well, I'm glad some of you do because I'm going to play some one night. Not that I'm going to sing. I'm just saying somebody else going to be singing, but it's going to be good stuff. Old time gospel music. Okay. Let's get started here. Okay, it's loading. I don't know why it does that, but it does.
Through the tears that made her blind, she felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face. Till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster vase. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. To the sin that had me bound, I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. My hair, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil.
There she is again. Judy Jacob brought me home. I'd let her go. Oh my. I love that song, that particular video. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Yeah. Okay, I forgot about that. Yeah, Mariana or Isaac.
Hello. I don't have anything to really talk about. Hey, Joe. But I do have a testimony. Would that be okay if I share this real quick?
Well, sure.
All righty. We're at our house Sunday, and me and Mariana were working outside. And I hear some gunshots in the back of the property. And we live in around a lot of country. There are neighbors around here in some parts, but I heard gunshots, just a whole bunch of them. And from the sound of it, I was like, yeah, that's probably AR-15 or that one's a pistol, right? And I can hear them sometimes, but they unload a magazine and they are fast. Like, okay. Man, but man, it sounds like they're going right through the back of my property. I can hear them whizzing on by, but I don't know that. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to gauge where the sound waves are traveling. So I go back on the back of my property. And the reason I can do that is because there's a bank on the back side. So I'm not really walking into anything because around here in southern Ohio, it's pretty hilly. It's not, it's decently hilly. Anyways, so I walk to the edge of my property. You know, I don't really hear any gunshots or anything at this time. I'm like, well, of course, I'm going back here to figure it out and it's all stopped. I just want to get to the bottom of this. So I start walking up toward the top of my property, like the hill, and I hear boom. Man, I am telling you guys, it sounded like it was right on me. And I felt like it. I was like, man, oh my goodness. I hit the ground. And I started doing an army cross. All right, I'm getting to the nearest tree. I kid you not, this is no exaggeration. Bullets start hitting 10 feet in front of me, right in front of me. Pop, pop, pop. One hit, maybe, let's say, 10 feet. And I heard it hit the ground. I mean, right at trajectory. I mean, right at me. And I said, oh, man, I jumped behind a tree. And I'm like, all right, well, I can just get my vital organs behind a tree. And I'm sitting there and I wish I was thinner than a tree. this tree must have been, to put it in the terms, this tree must have been one of them giant sequoias. No, I'm just joking.
But, crawl up in it, huh?
Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant. So but I was just, I mean, they're unloading clips. I'm like, oh, I just got to get out of here. And so they emptied it. I took off running to the left side, got closer to them, yet still behind a tree, but out of the shooting path. because somehow I was in the shooting path. And here's what's crazy is Men Air just going through these their magazines, man. And I used to have an AR-15, so I know what they sound like, man. It's quite a crack. So they're just unloading it, and I'm thinking, man, I can hear these things just whipping on across brush. And but here's what's wild. I wanted to yell and be like, hey, and scream, like, hey, this is my property you're shooting up. But I decided not to, because the night before that, I had a dream that I was held at gunpoint. And this was this guy, same neighbor that I've had issues with. It was him and I assumed his buddies. And they were just destroying the trees, man. They were shooting across my property, or they're shooting across my neighbor's property and my property. They set their, I don't know what it is, like a little, I mean, it ain't no more about like a 6x6 inch steel plate, and they just shoot at it. Cause I could hear it going pink, pink every now and then. But I could tell you they, for a fact, weren't hitting it every single time, because I could see the trees splintered up and, you know, broken half. I'm like, man, these guys really don't have any common sense. And, it's either that or they just don't care and they're doing it out of meanness sake. Like I say, I had that dream, first time I told you guys about this, and we prayed for them to either repent or just be out. And in the dream, they laughed about it. But anyways, back to the dream I had the night before the gun shootings, I had a dream that, I don't know who it was, but I just kind of pulled in front of them in my car, and they jumped out and held me at gunpoint just for no reason. And that was my dream. So I decided while I was behind that tree and all these gunshots not to be hollering at these guys, because they don't care. And so once I heard them unload their magazine, I took off running. You know, you should have heard me. I took off running and got back to my house. And I said, oh my gosh, man. I still couldn't tell for sure. I do know that bullets hit in front of me, but I didn't know if it was ricochet. I just didn't know. So yesterday I got home from work and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go back here first thing. Nobody's shooting back here. I'm going to go look. I did. And oh my goodness, man. That's when I discovered, you know, sorry, I'm kind of back and forth in the story, but that's when I discovered they had their site set right there at the edge of their property, directly into my property. And that's when I seen all the trees were just ripped in half, shot through, missing bark. I mean, literally some were broken half, some trees. And, I thought, golly, don't these guys even understand they can kill somebody out here, man? Like, what is wrong with them? And so, Lord forgive me, but I called the sheriff, said, hey, y'all got to come out here. They come out again. I said, I just want this guy to know he can't just shoot guns without thinking about it. Somebody could get killed. And I told him what happened to me, and they went and talked to him, and the sheriff come back and talked to me, and he said they're very apologetic. He didn't realize what he was doing. They didn't mean to almost shoot you. And I said, well, it's fine. I'm just happy that he's actually apologetic. But this time it needs to stop. Like, this got to be done. I'm done with this. You know what I mean? Got my, just, you know, I don't know. Thinking about it, it's like, man, cut my property down. They ripped my neighbor's fence up. They're shooting through her property, shooting my property. These guys, I just don't know what the deal is, man. But, and I feel bad to call a sheriff, but I just don't think anybody should be shooting through my property like that. And maybe I'm wrong for that, taking it in my own hands. I guess it kind of explains the dream and jumping in the car. It's kind of my own works. I didn't think about it till right now. But so anyways, I'm just thankful that I didn't get shot yesterday, is what my whole testimony is about. Because, man, as I hit the ground, it was another 10 foot forward. I mean, it was dead on. I'm telling you, man, because I seen it. And also, I'm thankful for that dream I had the night before, because I would have hollered at him. I know for a fact. That's just how I am. You know, I'd have hollered back here and be like, hey, chill out. You know what I mean? But I think the Lord was warning me, hey, they're in no mood for you to be hollering at them. And, I don't know. So I'm thankful. I'll say a little prayer too, I guess, if y'all believed me before. maybe I should just start believing. Anyways, Lord, thank you for the situation, Lord. Thank you for correcting it. Lord, they don't need to be back here shooting, be back there on the property, doing anything, because you know their hearts and what they're up to. Lord, I hope that they are repentant, Lord, and this will just be it, and we can just live our lives and not have to worry about it. That'd be the best thing. Lord, but you know this situation, Lord, and if anything, I'm asking you to help me to be at peace with things, because sometimes I struggle so hard to just do everything myself, and that's, gosh, the worst thing I could do. But Lord, thank you for protecting me against my own actions, and thank you for the warning ahead of time too. That's a real serious situation. But I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, because I don't know. I'm just thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just pray ahead to protection around Isaac's property, that even if the boys were out there, there would be nothing that would harm them, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We break the power of these men. Lord, we just ask that you grant repentance to them and bring them into the kingdom. And have Isaac witness to them at some point in time. That'd be awesome, Father God. That'd be a testimony to your grace and your mercy, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I'd like to just join that prayer. And Father, we thank you for your protection for Isaac and the family. And Lord, we just ask that you would turn their actions back upon themselves. Not that I'm praying for somebody to shoot them or anything like that, but raise their awareness of the danger that they're potentially inflicting on others. It may be that they don't care, but you can make them care. You can make them think about what they're doing, and you can turn their activity back upon themselves so that they can see with eyes to see and ears to hear, so to speak. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Raise their awareness and put the fear of God in them. And Lord, I thank you for it. When men turn from evil and the fear of the Lord is in their life, and I just pray that you would bring that fear into their life for their good. And we thank you for it. We just praise you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that we don't have to try to defend ourselves, but we can trust you. Because you are our great defender, and we thank you for that, Lord. You purchased us with your blood. We are bought and paid for, translated out of this kingdom of darkness, and set free to walk in your ways and in your truth. And we just thank you for the protective hedge that you put around us. And we thank you that you are in charge of all influences that come into our life. Lord, you have your hand on these men. And this is for your purpose, Lord. We just ask for your wisdom for Isaac and Mariana on this situation. Give them wisdom and give them a scripture, Lord, that they can hang on and they can rest on. And we thank you for your sovereignty over this situation. We praise you for bringing this experience into Isaac's life, Lord. For you have a purpose in it. We thank you for it. Just bless us, Lord, as we continue to stand with Isaac and Marianne in this situation and trust you that you will guide them. You will lead us. And Lord, as we commit our way unto you, you are faithful to bring it to pass. Even if we set our heart to do something, you always guide our steps into the right path as we trust you. And so we thank you for that in this situation, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pat. Missy, I said, go ahead.
I didn't hear you.
Wake
you were
up,
muffled.
Missy. Oh, was it?
Yeah, you were muffled or something, or maybe you cut out briefly or something.
Yeah,
anyway, what came to my mind was, this is kind of funny, but it's not. Hatfields and McCoys, redneck spirits, you know, just, like, it's craziness. So we just bind up any factious, rebellious, just spirits whatsoever in these people, Lord. And like we've all agreed, you know, save them, Lord, save them. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, Lord. Even protect them from their own, stupidity, for lack of a better way of saying it, Lord. Just even protect them that they don't do something stupid, that they hurt themselves, they hurt each other or whatever, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that Isaac's going to have a good encounter with them sometime, and that he's really going to be able to speak something of you, Lord, that will touch their hearts, Lord. And be a good witness to them, Lord, and they will see. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll give Isaac that opportunity to speak the good news to them in Jesus' name. And there's something I'd like to say that isn't related to this, but it's related to Isaac. I just wanted to say how much I loved, praise you, Lord, you get the glory, your story that David shared, your testimony. That was so cool. My favorite part was what Mariana said to you. You can't go back to work. They're going to have to throw you out of the plane. The whole Jonah thing. Oh, I listened to that again just earlier and I was cracking up. Oh my gosh. There's a.
She said, you want to get swallowed by a giant bird? That was funny.
What did she say?
You said, you want to get swallowed up by a giant bird?
Yeah, that was, yeah. It was so funny. Oh my gosh. That had to have been the Lord that put that in her, because it was just too funny but so appropriate at the same time, you know. Praise the Lord.
All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I agree. That was hilarious. That was a good one. I was, when Missy prayed about potential stupidity, it reminded me of a story. Well, my dad was a deer hunter, and I never really got into it. Well, I didn't get into it. Quite frankly, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But interesting. I used to always go with my dad hunting when I was a small kid. You know, it's time I you know when our family used to go out and sit in the mountains of Oregon, and there was always this thing about California hunters. because I don't know if I should say this. Well, I will. They were perceived as disrespectful by the Oregon hunters because they were all coming out of the city, LA and Frisco and all that sort of stuff. They come up to Oregon because the hunting was better up there. The deer were larger, I guess, or something like that. But they would always come and they would always leave trash around, and you know, it's just very disrespectful of, you know, and I don't say this, you know, as a type of, you know, all California people or whatever, anything like that. My brother lived there for years. But anyway, so there was a kind of antagonism, I guess you might say, or these people, you know, pay massive dollars to come up there and, you know, drive their big trucks up there and their fancy guns and pull their big trailers and, you know, whatever. But my dad was, we were out in the forest, and dad could hear something, you know, crackling over, and they, you know, like a deer coming, you know, walking up or something like that. And he stopped, very slowly cocked his gun and put a bullet in the chamber. And when he, you know, I'm not a hunter, but I always watch my dad, and he would have his gun up there, right at the shoulder, waiting for something to happen. And lo and behold, we were, you know, I was just as quiet as a bird, and I was watching, and these antlers come up behind this rock. And it was, the antlers were just up and down, up and down. And my dad was getting ready to draw a bead on it. And this guy walked out from behind that rock with a set, I kid you not, a set of antlers on his head. And of course, my dad was a very colorful conversationalist. And, cause I mean, he could have dropped that, and he was ready to drop that deer until that guy's head showed up under the antlers. But, and as soon as my dad calmed down, he talked to this guy, and of course found out he was from California, and he had these antlers on his head because he wanted to attract a deer. And I thought, now that is stupidity. You can't fix that stuff, you know. I'm just lucky that my dad didn't shoot him. But I mean, it was unbelievable when Missy said stupidity. I thought, okay, well this is one here that it's for the books here. But that was crazy. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
That's the
Isaac's a
epitome of
deer hunter.
Stupid.
It's like you say, you can't fix that stuff.
Did your dad warn him about doing that?
Certainly, I would say that was a warning. Yes, he was very colorful in that warning. So,
oh my gracious!
But anyway,
how stupid can you get? Still call yourself a human? Gracious. All right. Deer decoy. Walking around. Oh, my gracious. All right, anyone else? Now, we can get in some deer hunt stories here. I saw, just briefly, I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of stories, but I was standing on the stand where the woods surrounded a bean field like this, and across the bean field was probably 300 yards or so. And I was in a deer stand. I was in a tree stand. And I was watching this guy and his boy come out about halfway down the field line in the woods, coming out, stood there. And then another guy was down in the curve of the field down here. Now, they're both on the other side of the field, but I was watching them. And a deer came out between them. A deer came right out between them. This guy down here opened fire. And I could see the man and his boy hit the dirt and crawl back in the woods. Guy never hit the deer. Deer took off running. And next thing I know, the man and the boy opened fire on this guy. And I said, well, it's time for me to go. I need to get out of here. This ain't right. And I got down out of the tree stand, went back to my truck, went home. There was, you know, it was on a field that a friend of mine owned. I don't know who it was, but that's what I saw. I said, this is crazy. People are nuts. People in the city, we always, of course, we had a farm. The thing that you see a lot of times during hunting season, if you don't post your land, they'll drive right across your fields on a muddy field. They'll take their four-wheel drive, go right straight across the fields and just rut up the whole field. That's just the way they do. So we had to post all our land. We did that for years. Anyway, that's what you run into. It's not all of them do it, but some of them do, and they don't care. Okay, enough about hunting. Do hunting. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? I got something here I want to just throw it out there. By John G. Lake. How to enter the will of God. How many of you know how to enter the will of God? Let me just, it says, there's two phases to enter the will of God, is what Lake said. He said the first, and here's the one I want to talk about. The first is the surrender of our will to do the will of God. Can someone tell me what he's talking about here? How do we surrender our will to do the will of God? Now, that's the discussion I'd like to speak about or talk about tonight. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, it's kind of like that story Isaac wrote in on that day when everything seemed to follow through. He was surrendering to the will of God. What's next, Lord? And everything seemed to follow through for that job interview and everything that he went through, because there was quite a few things that had to come to pass there, and it all seemed to come in order. And I kind of think it's like in the groove, you know, when the Lord is taking care of things and he's taking care of the next thing and the next thing. And, you know, it's from the Lord. You just know it. And I think it's when the Lord is more heightened in you, and you allow these things to actually happen in tandem. It's really neat when it's like for a very long time. And then for some reason, sometimes it just goes away. That's one of the ways I think it happens. I'm not sure if there's another way. Praise God.
Amen. Well, to surrender our will to do the will of God, you have to know what the will of God is, don't you? And if you know what the will of God is, then you do what you read that he says to do, right? Is that right? Okay. And if you do what the word says to do, when you read it and you do what it says, you're in the will of God, right? And so when he says, of course, you know, it's not real rocket science to be in the will of God. When he gives you the fruits of the Spirit, we talked about those. And also the Beatitudes, and also who we are in Christ and what Christ has told us to do. When he tells you to do something, when you find out, here's what I've noticed about it. When you find out in the Word of God that God wants you to do something, and you read about it, and you said, okay, he says to do this. Okay, that's something I need to do. Then you're in the will of God when you do. Go ahead, Pat.
Isaac's story kind of reminded me of something that, and actually you're talking about the will of God, which was kind of interesting, because I wanted to share this, maybe share this. I think I've shared this once before, but it's kind of out of the archives, but it was, when I came to the Lord, I'd been, a Christian, in the church for 3 or 4 years, I guess, or whatever. And when I, before I became a Christian, I made a significant amount of money or whatever. And it was like one of those things, you have enough money or more than you need, and you don't have to worry about doing a budget or any of that sort of stuff. Budget was like, I never heard of one of those things before. And that was because obviously I didn't handle my finances, my money or anything. I probably handled it as well as I did every other area of my life, just lived how I wanted to live, that sort of thing. Well, when I became a Christian, the Lord, the first thing he started doing is showing me in the scripture. I think I can't remember the exact verse now, but it was a concept of stewardship, that our money is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. And we are stewards. And he took me through some scriptures of the unjust steward, which I thought was very good, because and this was in the early days when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And but I was reading about the unjust steward, and that's really when I realized that God uses the unfaithful or unrighteous mammon, not unfaithful, the unrighteous mammon as just another tool in his hands. He uses it whenever he wants. He supplies it whenever we need and whatever. And it's simply a venue or a, what am I trying to say? It's how you treat, how you use those finances, in connection with other people's lives, that it means that that's the value of it. And if you read the parable of the unjust steward, where the boss came to him and was calling him up for a reckoning, so to speak. And the guy knew that he was a shyster, basically. He was unjust. But he knew that if he had to give an account of what he'd done, he's probably going to get the shaft from this guy, so to speak. I guess it's not really a nice thing to say, but he was going to go up against her. He was going to get nailed. So he went out and he went to the people that he was collecting debts from. He said, "How much do you owe?" And the guy says, "Well, I owe you $100. And he says, "Well, give me your bill." And he wrote 50 on it. And then he went to the next guy and did the same thing. "How much do you owe?" "I owe 80 pence or whatever. Give me your bill. I'm going to write 25 or 30 or whatever." Well, if you read the end of that parable, the master of that unjust steward commended that unjust steward for doing wisely, because that unjust steward perceived that money, that unrighteous mammon, didn't mean a thing. If it got down to brass tacks and you were starving to death and you had 500 of these dollars in your pocket, but you couldn't buy food, you'd have to eat that money. And how nutritious would that be? You're not going to live off of that stuff. It's what you do with it, how you handle it. Anyway, well, the Lord was teaching me this concept, and then he took me over to, and this was all at the same time when, because of my unrighteous handling of money, I owed a lot of debts. And I owed a school debt of, 10 years previous. I mean, I owed IRS taxes and all kinds of stuff like that. Which was a fairly significant amount of money that I owed, and I couldn't pay because I was, the Lord was taking me through a time of my own reckoning, I guess you might say. And so I was seeking the Lord, and he was, starting first things, the stewardship thing was the first thing. And then he showed me, that if we're seeking the Holy Spirit, but we can look in our lives and see that we don't handle this unrighteous mammon correctly, who, and it says, and God says, "Who will give unto him the valuable stuff?" I wish I knew I was going to say something about this, or I'd pull open the scriptures and read that verse. But I realized that, that there was a connection with how I handled my debts and my money and the things that I owe, how I treated others with the use of my money. And of course the Lord was establishing controls in my life that I'd never had before. And so I really became convicted that, you know what? I have to sit down and I have to contact every one of these debtors that I owe money to. And of course, there was another scripture that said, agree with your adversary while you're in the way. Because if he brings you before the judge and you get tossed in the can, You're not getting out of there until you pay the very last buck you owe. And everybody knows if they toss you in the can, there's not a whole lot of employment in there that you're going to be able to earn and pay off your debts. So, and I saw that the Lord wanted me to stop, go, call up these debtors and agree with them. Whatever they said, agree with them. And pay off what I owed them. And I become very convicted about that. And so I went through a process, sat down and, started writing letters, contacting, phone calls, trying to get a hold of everyone. Of course, every time you do that sort of situation, you always start with the easy ones first and work your way up to the big ones. And the big one was the IRS thing. I owed them a few thousand bucks at the time. This was in the early 80s, so that's a significant more amount of money than what it would be today. But and I hate to make this long story, it's probably another long story. So I knew I had to do that. So I started calling up these people, and before I got like to two or three on the list, I got canned from my job. This is the first job I'd ever been fired from. And interesting thing about that, I'll just do a quick little tangent. The guy was a member of the church that I was in, and he worked for a business, and he gave me a job, and I was very grateful for it because I was, I was broke at the time, and very thankful for it. And I had another friend that was working at the same job in our church, and he heard something about this guy. And, something that he was doing that was not right. And I never really did catch the whole story or anything, but he wanted me to come with him and sit and, do the Matthew 18 thing and talk to, the boss, so to speak. And I didn't really know what was happening, but there is a scripture that said about taking up an offense for somebody else. Well, I joined the group and kind of took up an offense, and I still don't know what the guy did, but according to this other guy, it was not very good or whatever. Well, this was happening on the side, and I thought, well, this is Matthew 18, I'm obeying the Lord, and I want to, see what happens here. Well, lo and behold, I saw what happened. About a week later, I got canned, and so did the other guys, matter of fact. And so here I was in this situation where I had told the Lord, all right, I'm going back. Your word says that I'm seeking the Holy Spirit, and you're not giving me the Holy Spirit, if I can't be trusted to handle this unrighteous mammon here. So I got to deal with this. Well, I was in now as being between a rock and a hard spot, because now I didn't have a job. But I still had a commitment now to the Lord to call up my debtors and agree with them of whatever payment schedule or whatever I could make with them in order to get free of this debt. And the dilemma at that time was, the Lord led me through this process and showed me, and I'm not saying this, he showed me the connection between receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving from him and dealing properly and obeying him in this way. So I committed my way unto the Lord. I said, you know, if the Lord laid me down here, he's going to have to give me a job, because I can't agree with somebody and not be able to pay it. So I went to work. I went to started combing the yellow pages to try to find a job. And at the same time, I was calling up all these people and, you know, finding out how, you know, I owe you $500. How do you, I would like to pay it back and go on a, you know, payment plan if you can, and that sort of thing. No, you owe me $500. Give me $500 and, you know, whatever, whatever the thing was. And whatever it was, I just agreed with it. The Lord worked that process out. Some of it were payment plans and some were whatever, the whole process. But he systematically worked it out. And I wish I would have written all of that down. But every one of those things he worked out. And in the process, I called up this person. And there was, and this was in this time of the of the years, I guess. This is when the Penn Square Bank collapsed and took the economy completely down in Oklahoma. That's where I was at the time. Took it completely down. And there was my people out of jobs. There wasn't anybody hiring. There was houses, you know, there were so many houses on the market because people were out of jobs and losing and leaving the state and this and that. You could go to a realtor and they would give you the lockbox to house keys and said, go out and find something. When you find it, come back here and we'll sell it to you, that type of thing. The economy was gone. I got on the phone and I can't combed every, I must have called every company in Oklahoma City, and I found a company that this guy I hired on to him. I said, listen, I'll work the first week. If you don't if I'm not working out for you, you know, tell me to leave and I'll go, and no hard feelings. And he hired me, and lo and behold, he didn't pay overtime. He didn't pay, he didn't have any, what do you call, benefits. The benefit is he gave me a job. And he said, you can work as many hours as you want. I said, fine, I'll work as many hours as I want in order to pay my bills. And that's how the Lord led me through that process, because I hate to say it, but I was probably working 85 hours a week there for quite a while. But to pay these bills off. So to go back to Michael's question, how do you do the will of God? I guess you commit your way unto him and you do it and step out there and trust that he's going to supply. I guess that's all I have to say, but that was a very encouraging and scary time. I guess you might say scary and exciting at the same time. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. That's exactly what it is. That's stepping out there and doing what the word says. And let me finish this and you'll understand a little bit more about it. Most people's conception of doing the will of God is to become a non-entity. Now, it's not God's ideal for you to have to be pushed around like a machine, move like a mechanism. The other is recognizing, this is point two, the second faith. The other is recognizing yourself as God's son and man's servant. I think the most, this is Blake talking. I think the most wonderful exhibition of this truth that God can give us is in the fact that he gives us the Holy Ghost, that's what you were talking about, to use for God. For instance, the Lord says, they shall lay hands on the sick if they shall recover. But if you don't lay your hands upon anyone, they will not be healed. However, if you have faith to believe that you have the Holy Spirit to be used by him and for him, your heart and your hands will be ready. It's a sad thing to me that God has to go out on a special mission and hunt a soul up and wrestle with him in order to get him to do something for God. There used to be a Bible school in Ohio where they waited in continuous prayer meeting for 9 months for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I said to them, this is Lake Tahoe. He said, I said to them, it seems to me if you stay around for 10 years and 9 months, you will miss the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But if you take off your coat and go out and use what God has given you to bless others, he'll give you more. What you sow, you will reap, is what he's talking about. Remember what the Lord said in Mark 16? This is what the Lord said. Somewhere. He said this, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. To the whole creation. He didn't limit you. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a good start right there. If you don't do those things, you're not, you know, you're not doing the will of God. You know what the key to being in the will of God is? It's L-O-V-E, the love that Jesus had. And if you have the love that Jesus had, you'll be doing the will of God. He had compassion on everybody. He didn't, Gentile and Jew alike, it didn't make him any difference. He loved people. Everybody. He didn't call anybody. Now, I know people talk about the lady that came up, and he told her, said, well, you know, it's not for the dogs. Can't give you heated. Because she said, yeah, but the dog will eat the crumb. And he healed her. Same way with the centurion. He healed his servant. Come on. They weren't saved. They weren't Christians. How many Christians do you think that Jesus healed? Zero. Zero. Every one of them that he healed were not Christians. So God wants us to do his will, and he wants us, what's the fruit that we're looking for? What's the fruit that God's looking for? Jesus, right? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I think everybody froze up. But it's Jesus he's looking for. And if it's Jesus he's looking for, all we have to do is read about Jesus, look in the Gospels to find out who he was, and then look in the Epistles to find out who we are in him. And then you'll know. Okay, that's all I want to say. Anybody else got anything they want to add? Okay, now, I'm just throwing stuff out there tonight because I want to do this. That's all right with y'all. Is that all right? Y'all getting anything out of this? Okay, John Lake's Secrets of Divine Healing. Number one, there's 15 of them. Number one, you can write these down if you want to. Destroy, and not very long, destroy sacred cows concerning sickness and power. Destroy the sacred cows concerning sickness and power. You understand what I'm saying? The sacred cows are the things that people make up reasons for not healing people. It's not God's will to do that. That's one of them. You got whole denominations that tell us that. Another one is generational curses. That's another one. There's a bunch of them. All you got to do is go out and try to do it. And people, 10, can I be honest with you? Just be honest with you. People tell me that there are certain things that the person that you pray for has to have faith. Man, there's a lot of times I prayed for folks that didn't have a bit of faith and God healed them. So, you know, there's another sacred cow. It's your faith and trust in God that he's going to, when you go out there, it's God in you doing this, not you. You're not doing it, but you're allowing him to work through you to do it, to get the job done. And I'm not promoting healing, but that is something that you need to think about. You see somebody that's hurting out there in the world. That's what Jesus did. He go heal them, go deliver them, set them free. Number two, recognize sickness and disease as an enemy. That's a deadly enemy. It is an enemy. Recognize sickness and disease as an enemy. Get mad with it. Number three, this is, goes along with it. Get fed up with the sickness and disease. Bless God, I told you to get out of there, and I meant for you to leave that person right now in the name of Jesus. And as Lester Sumrall would say, sometimes he'd get fed up, and he'd say, and I don't mean maybe. Leave it. I don't mean maybe. Treat all sickness the same. It don't make any difference if it's terminal cancer or a cold. It's still sickness. A cold is just baby sickness. That's what cold is. That's what a cold is. It can turn into something terrible. Treat all sickness the same. Get after it. Get mad at it. And he says, number five is treat all sickness like a person. You don't sit there and play toys with him. You command him. He's under your authority. You come out of them, and I don't mean maybe. I'm telling you right now, you leave him this minute, or them. And I command that pain to leave too. When he goes out, you follow right along with him, and you get gone. In Jesus' name. Treat all sickness like a person. That's what you do. It's not a, it's something that's killing folks. Command, number six, command, not beg. Oh God, if it be your will. That don't work. That don't work. Lord, I just ask that your power come down and sweep across them and just filter all of this stuff out of them. Not what he said to do. He said, you command it out. That's our job. We command that stuff to go in the name of Jesus. And it has to go. And you know it. Listen, faith is this. It's expecting it to happen. That's what it is. It's expecting. When you command that spirit to leave, you're expecting it to go. It ain't got a choice. And you'll get a reputation in the spirit realm when you do. When you stick with it. Speak to the problem. And not to others about the problem. That's a big one. Speak to the problem. you speak to it. You know something that somebody's got that having trouble with it. Say, let me. Here's what I was telling somebody today. They were asking me about healings and stuff like that. So how do you do that? How do you approach somebody? Here's the way I approach them. The Lord sent me over here to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Now, I just read you in Mark 16 where he sent me and sent you to go pray for people. You're not lying. The Lord sent me over here to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Can you tell me exactly what's wrong with you? Then you command it to go. You can. And some, a lot of times, if I got pain, I tell them, look, if you've got pain in your body, and that pain goes, you'll know you're healed, don't you? Yeah. If that pain goes, I know I'm healed. Okay. These are people without much faith, if they have any faith at all. Most of them are, you know, healed. You command the pain to go, and the pain will go. You command the spirit of infirmity to go. Whatever it is, makes no difference. It's got to go. And then you tell them, after they know they've healed, look, you're healed now. That was Jesus that did that. And he said this, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on. What that means is, give your life to Jesus and come into the kingdom. And you can help somebody else do this. And they say, well, I don't know where I need to go. Well, I'll tell you what, come follow me. Be over at my house, you know, whatever. 7:30 tomorrow night, and I'll teach you a little bit. Whatever you want to do. Okay. Number 8, see people as oppressed prisoners of war. And they are. They're locked into it. The doctor. Hey, listen, we were talking about this morning. Got somebody I know that took the jab and it's giving him the cancer. And they're talking about it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the doctor gave me the jab. Now I got to go to the doctor to get healed of cancer. Now, I don't make any sense to me. Because in the first place, the doctor knew that jab wasn't going to happen. Most of them didn't. And yet he's going to go back to the doctor for him to heal him of the cancer. I'll be looking for Jesus. See people as oppressed prisoners of war, and that's what they are. Also, here's number 9. This is a good one. Get clean and stay clean. Get clean and stay clean. Repent. Make sure you're doing the things that God tells you to do. Abide in him and let him abide in you. Number 10. Stay out of pride. It ain't you that's done it. It's God. Anyone can do what you're doing. Anybody in here can do healing, deliverance, and all of those things. Anybody. David talks about, you remember the guy that got thrown through the glass door? We talked about it the last time, I believe. David was talked about. He got thrown through the glass door. And he's hollering about these demons that was on him. Brand new Christian walked up and said, in the name of Jesus, demons come off of him. And they left him. Brand new Christian. So anybody can do this. Stay out of pride. Anybody can do what you're doing. Number 11, be aggressive and develop your aggressiveness. Now, I know that people have different personalities, different things, different gifts. But you, in order to do this type of work, you need to be aggressive and develop your aggressiveness. Be led by God's character and nature. A lot of people like to be theatrical about it. Jesus, all he said, you're healed. You need eyesight? You got it. That kind of stuff. We need to make it as simple as possible. We don't need to be theatrical about it. Sometimes, you know, I get mad. We start stomping our foot and all that. That's okay. But be led by what Jesus did. You know, he's the same thing. He was doing the same thing that we're doing. He was trusting God to follow through with what he was doing. Number 13, accept responsibility for your fellow man. That's pretty self-explanatory there. You see a need, try to help them. We're servants of man. Servants of men. We lord it over Satan. Satan ain't got a chance when you understand your responsibility in Christ. Number 14, decide to obey the Bible and not some arbitrary feeling. I just don't know if I can do this. I don't. Well, the Bible says you can, so if the Bible says you can, bless God, I can do it. But I don't know. I'm not gifted like that. Yes, you are. The Word's already told you to do it. Now here's a good one. Here's the key right here. The whole thing. Number 15. Know that God is with you, in you, and for you. Know that God is with you, in you, and for you. Ain't going nowhere. And I don't know if he's going to answer my prayer or not. Why? He's not allowed. And faith is all it is just expecting God to do it. Yep, you're healed. Bless God, you're healed. That's it. All right, any questions? Yeah, Ben.
What was number 12? I think I missed it.
Be led by God's character and nature. All of this stuff you can get online. Be led by God's character and nature. Has anybody got any more questions or any answers? Are you?
I thought you said there were six. I thought you said there were 15. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, 15. 15. Okay, and there's one more I'd like to go through if that's okay with y'all. Do y'all like this? Is it helping you? Okay. One more that Lake had. He said, John G. Lake's Secrets of Spiritual Power. How many of you need some spiritual power? Glory to God. Yeah, me too. All right. Number one, spiritual hunger. And he's got a colon and it says intense desire. A desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results, not a desire for more of God. Spiritual hunger is intense desire, a desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results, not a desire for more of God. Matthew 5, verse 6 says this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How to develop spiritual hunger? A, an appetite. A, the same way you develop physical hunger. Increase energy output, which will require greater energy input. Okay? B, you must force yourself to do the things you normally do not do. You have to discipline yourself to do these things. Eat when you don't want to, and eat more often than you're used to. In other words, feed on the Word of God when you don't want to. He says, this will stretch your stomach, forcing you to eat more the next time just to feel full. Example, pray more often. Study the Bible more often. Witness more often. Begin to practice what you learn in church. What you learn in the Word of God, do it. What I'll do, I'll send this to y'all if you'd like. Okay, I can do that. Number two, feeding on the Word of God. A, read. Take a portion of Scripture and get the overall story. B, study. Take a verse apart word by word and get definitions. C, meditate. Think about and say over and over to yourself what you have discovered in this verse. When you do that, it gets it in your spirit, and it also renews your mind. Number three, communion with God. Communion with God. A, talking prayer. B, listening prayer. Boy, that's a big one. C, practice the presence of the Spirit of God. That's a big one too. Four, fellowship with like-minded Christians. Get around people that believe like you do. If there's none in your area, win some and then disciple them into this truth. That's a good way to do it, isn't it? B, if the people in your church are dead and resistant to this truth, leave that place and find a place that accepts it. If there's no place like that near you, start one. You are a missionary. Number five, public confession of who you are in Christ and who He is in you. A, Jesus is Lord of me. Jesus is Lord of my family. Jesus is Lord of this city. Jesus is Lord of our nation. Jesus is Lord of my finances. Jesus is Lord of, you know, on and on and on. Public confession of who you are in Christ and who He is in you. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16. We just went through that. C, the Golden Rule in Matthew 7 and 12. Do unto others. We all know that. And D, the abiding anointing of 1 John 2:27. Somebody look at that right quick. 1 John 2:27. Should have had it written down. No. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
And as for you, the anointing which ye received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that anyone teach you, but as His anointing teacheth you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie. And even as it taught you, ye abide in Him.
Amen. I tell you, the Holy Spirit can do the teaching. That's when you meditate on the Word and He starts peeling that onion back. Okay. Power over the enemy. Luke 10:19. You all know it. F, the works of Jesus and greater works of John 14:12. If Jesus told us we could do the things that He did, and then He said, and greater works you can do, then first thing we've got to do is start doing what He did. And when you start doing what He did, the greater works will come. I guarantee you, we're already seeing some stuff that He never did. How many of you know Jesus never fixed a pump? Huh? How many of you know he never fixed a tractor? Huh? Okay. But it's Jesus doing it, isn't it? Praise God. Okay. Number six. Here's another big one. Praying in tongues. A. Loud. It brings up the fight in you. How many of you knows when you're praying the spirit out loud that just stirs up your spirit? It does me. I get fired up, brother. I'm telling you, I get fired slam up with Jesus. B, long. That first one was loud. This says long. Time yourself and get longer each time. Build spiritual stamina. When you pray in tongues, it builds your faith up. Not only that, it builds your immune system up too. Blake said that they had a scientific experiment, or somebody did, Blake did, but they also had one here not too long ago, that it is a scientific fact. When you pray 30 minutes, at least 30% of your immune system goes up at least 30%. Up to 60%. And if you pray in an hour, it goes up to 60%, up to 100%. If you pray for an hour and a half, you start out at 100%, your immune system. So how many of you don't want to get sick and want to walk in divine health? There you go. There you go. Build spiritual stamina. Okay. C, intensity. We're talking praying in tongues now. Intensity. Fight as if your life depends upon it. And in parentheses, he's got it does, and if not your life, someone else's. It's a natural fact that when you pray in tongues, it builds you up, builds your faith up, builds your immune system up. It builds everything. It builds your spiritual self up as well. Any questions on praying in tongues? That's very important. That's very important. Okay, number seven, action. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's King James. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a lot of people that are scholars in the word, but they ain't never been out doing anything for God. Just talking. Talking a big shot. A good story, you know. It's when you go out there and you cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel. And that's the secrets of spiritual power. And here's what Lake said. You have to think about this. This is a sentence long. It says, it is a law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. You understand what he's saying? It is a law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. In other words, go do the word. You do the word and then you'll find out. You'll start believing the word as people. God's, when you go out there, here's what happened to me. When I first started going out praying for folks, everybody I prayed for got healed. Everybody I prayed for got healed. Boy, he was up in my faith completely. And it got to the point where I just expected it to happen. And when that happens, it's over for the devil. But you have to go out there and do it in order to get to it. Because of that deal. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I may start in the flesh, but I finish in the spirit. I may start in the flesh, but I finish in the spirit. Any questions? Well, I'll try to get this through everybody tonight after the deal. I'll send it to everybody. If you want it. Yeah, Julie.
Michael, that last one you just read about Wigglesworth, what does that mean, starting out in the flesh but finishing the spirit? What did you mean by that?
I knew he was going to ask me that. Somebody was going to ask me that. I forget what it was, so I'll have to look it up and tell you later. Yeah, go. Pat got it. Pat's got it.
Well, I'm thinking of what Jesus said, that the verse, I mean, not the verse, but the statement that he said just before that, that you can act yourself into believing quicker than you can believe yourself into acting. And.
Well, if you just hit me, I know what it is.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Ahead.
Well, what he was talking about. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I'll shut up and listen.
Well, what he was talking about, he said when he would start preaching a word or giving out a message, he would start out in the flesh, and then the Spirit of God would take over and bring these things to his remembrance, and the Word of God would just come out, would come out. He didn't have anything to do with it, and he wouldn't prepare. People wouldn't prepare for their sermons or their preaching. They just go up there and start talking. If you start talking, God will take, he's done that to me a few times back in the past when I was doing that, that he would take over, the Holy Spirit would take over, and just verse after verse would come out when needed. And the Holy Spirit would take over and start preaching. Same way with healing. He'll give you the words to say. Anything that you do, you start it out. You be bold enough to start it out, and the Holy Spirit will take over if you allow it. That happens to preachers a lot. Here's what Lake would do. Here's what Lake would do. Before a meeting, he would go out and pray in the spirit, loud, long, and all of those things he said. And he'd ask the Lord to interpret it for him. And as he'd walk out, he said, I love to walk and pray in tongues. So do I. I love to do that. And he would go out and pray in tongues. And as he come back, the Lord would give him the interpretation of it. And that would be his message that night. Anything that's what I've been praying for, is to interpret my tongues more, a whole lot more. There you go. To the whole world, whole creation, right? Remember that story about that guy that went out, the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night, went out into the woods, and the Lord told him to stop right here and start preaching the word. It's in the middle of the night, for goodness sake. Nobody around, out in the middle of nowhere. And he started preaching a word, evangelistic word. And this guy with tears in his eyes comes bounding down out of the tree where he was standing under. With tears all up in his eyes, he said, I was fixing to hang myself. And you come up here and preach the word of God. He said, tell me how to get Jesus. That's God. So if you're listening to God, how many people could we have saved, you know? or can we in the future, can help out. Amen. But that's what he was talking about, Pat. Yeah, go ahead again.
Well, I was just, it's interesting in the Mark 16:15 when he said that, give the, I guess, the Great Commission. He didn't even tell them to go read your Bible, go do, you know, go study up, go pray up. This, obviously all those things are essential and important. What did he say? Go. Get up and go. Because, and you can see that now as you study it and think about it, when he sent the disciples out, and like David just was speaking about that in his last message, but he said, go, because when you go, you're not going to have you're not going to have all the resources you need. And you don't take a extra this, don't take it, just go. And it's interesting, if you think about it, when we enter into the tribulation, you can, the great tribulation or whatever it is, when you're thinking about that whole concept, you know, how many of us think, well, when we go into the tribulation, I'm going to be able to take my laptop and my library here of all the books I got. And I'm gonna, of course, that is, unless you get tossed in jail, unless they burn your house down or whatever and you don't have anything, the only thing you're going to take when you go into the tribulation, when we go into the tribulation, is what we have inside and what we have learned by going and receiving the understanding and the results. What was that he said there? Spiritual hunger. How to develop spiritual hunger.
Oh, by reading the word, spiritual hunger, a desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results. In other words,
the desire for fulfillment,
appetite
of developing spiritual appetite. Results. And you only get results when you do. You know, you may get success. You may get failure. Yep. Maybe God, because we all learn in different ways. We all learn to understand certain things, and many times it's through failure. You know, it didn't work. Why didn't it work, Lord? Well, what's this? What are you really thinking here in your heart? What's that? What do you think that is? Oh. You mean I'm not really believing what you said there? I'm really trusting in that sacred cow that we were speaking about in the last, the first list. Is there a sacred cow that I'm trusting in there? Or whatever. But I just thought it was unique that he said, go and preach. Go and preach. Go and confess. Get it out of your heart through your mouth. Out into the audience to whoever and see what happens. He that believes what you're saying and is baptized shall be saved. These signs shall accompany them. Bingo. So it's like first things first, and it is kind of, and I might say that the times when I have learned the most of of God's perspective on certain things is when I've actually done that. And I will have to say again, that's where my greatest hurdles, maybe this is a sacred cow in me, of speaking forth and confessing and getting that word out, letting it get from my heart or from my mind and getting it out through this mouth gate. And of course, sitting in here and talking, you probably wouldn't think that. Maybe, but when I'm out working and in the masses of people and employees and employers and responsibilities for this and that, and whatever, it all seems to get lost in the sauce. And I know in my life, it's very seldom that I'm able to actually speak with somebody on that level, which I would like to see changed. So maybe I need to go more. Anyway, I'll let it go at that.
What would happen, you know, if you were walking down the street, somebody that had the jab just fell out right in front of you? You know, what would you do? Well, the first thing you do is go over there and cast that spirit of death off of them. Pray the prayer of faith for him and get him up, get him going again. That's what you do. And we have to be prepared for that kind of thing because people are falling out all over the place from these jabs. And they're fixing to start another round of it, it looks like. But, yeah, we all have to be ready to be disciples of Christ. And when you're a disciple of Christ, that means you're walking like Jesus. You're talking like Jesus and you're acting like Jesus and you have the same abilities that he had, because he's divine, remember, and you're the branch. And if you're the branch, you've got everything he's got. You got every tool that he had, every one of them. And you got the Holy Ghost. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got it all. Yeah, Isaac.
You know how you said, Michael, if somebody fell down in front of you, like, what would you do immediately? And I feel I've been caught off guard at times. And not that that's happened to me, but in any situation. But I say it to bring up this. This is something that I happen to notice, and me and Marianne talked about. Like, when we went down to, like, UBM to visit for, like, pot blessing and all that, you know, kids play, and they fall down and whatnot. I mean, I'm telling you, I have seen this on numerous people there. First thing to do, in Jesus' name be healed. And it's just, it's a thing. Like, it just happens. And, you know, the reaction time's so good, but it's, I don't know how to say it, but it's just such a good reaction. And in a situation like that, that's where I want to be. I want it just to be just second nature. I just, in Jesus' name, be healed, right? And I've noticed that, you know. And I tell you, I've seen it also happen. We're at Michael and David's house, and Israel fell off one of the bar stools. He hit the ground pretty hard, started screaming, ah! And I hear her shuffling, running up. Cause I was looking at him like, man, you okay? I mean, just that's, you know, that's what I was doing. But I seen David come over here. But say, in Jesus' name, you be healed. And that's just great reaction time. And really, I think there's a lot of flesh under submission there. You know, there's with the people I've seen there too, when it comes to, I don't know. I'm not saying this to like, I'm not sound rude, like a, you know, be a people pleaser. I don't mean it like that. I just really, I have thought about this time and time again, cause I first noticed it. And I just think that's just a great reaction. And, you know, I don't know. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Well, just think of the people that you can help. One night I was coming in from work. My neighbor right on the corner at the EMSL and all this stuff. He was an older guy. And he had a stroke. in the bathroom. They wheeled him out, fixed to load him up. I pulled in there and I got out and I said, "Leader, what's wrong?" And he was sitting there. His wife said he had a stroke in the bathroom. I said, "You want me to pray for you?" Now, these are Baptist people. He shook his head, yeah, and I just grabbed him, commanded that spirit of infirmity off of him, commanded to come out of that wheelchair, and he did. And the EMS people said, "Well, we got to take you to the hospital." He said, "I ain't going nowhere." He said, "I'm healed." And he just walked on in the house. And his wife just sitting there with her mouth open. That's what you do. You be prepared for that kind of thing. Not that I was anybody. I didn't heal him, but God did it. You know, but it was God in me. He had taught me how to do that, how to react, like Isaac was talking about. Everybody here has been taught to do that. We do it. Y'all do it. Missy knows. She's been here quite a lot. But it's a lifestyle that God wants us to have and to walk in. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe we're going to see it too. And I tell you something right now. I know a ministry right now that's running at 97% healings. When they pray for them, 97%. And they pray for thousands and thousands of people. So it can be done. I'm looking for 100%. How many of you are looking for 100%? I am looking for 100%. And we're fixing to see it. We're fixing to see it. Just hang in there. We've got to get these principles down first, you know. No, you don't. You just get out there and do it. that's what the mainstream media, churches want to tell you. Well, you got to sit up in here and listen to me for 40 years, and then maybe we'll see about sending you out and doing that, you know. No, just go out and do it. Just go out and do it. James tells us to go out and do it, doesn't he? Call on the elders, all right? Call on the elders. Be an elder. Call on the elders and lay hands on the sick. And he also said that he'd forgive their sins too, didn't he, or something like that. What is it? Five. Praise God. Yeah, prayer of faith of him. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. And is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders' church. Let him pray over. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. All in one little fell swoop right there. Brought him right into the kingdom. Glory to God. And if he's been sinning, it's all done. Right there. Yeah, Isaac. I'm sorry, Geneva.
I had a testimony, actually, about just that quick recall time. I was actually over at Isaac's, and we were outside. Mariana was outside. We were sitting on their porch, and our mom, for some reason, decided to buy some roller skates and was going to show Israel and Isaiah how to skate. And we were all kind of looking at her like, "Mom, I don't know if it's a good idea." And she was like, "I can do this." You know, she was kind of in a sassy mood that day. So we were like, "Okay." My mom stands up. And the minute she stood up, it was like, "Whoa, bam!" Like, hit the table. It's terrible. I shouldn't be laughing. But she like hit, they had like a chicken coop stand right there, and she hit it straight in her back and fell over. And we were all just like, oh man, that looked like that hurt. And mom, like typically, you know, we'd all be laughing pretty fast. And I grabbed mom and I just grabbed her real quick. And I said, in the name of Jesus, pain be gone right now in Jesus' name. And, you know, I'll be honest, I've come short of, you know, not being quick with that stuff, but, you know, praise the Lord, getting better. And, mom, you know, she stood up and she was like, you know, kind of taken back too. And she ended up being okay. But I tell you, that bruise, it was huge, but she said she was fine. She said that she actually felt okay and didn't feel any pain. So, but the, you know, the bruise or whatever, like, I know it was the Lord that came up. I know it was the Lord that, did that, but, the boys learned that day to, maybe just to not roller skate.
Amen. Let me tell you a little story about it that's in the Bible. It's Elijah. I believe it was Elijah. Wasn't it Elijah that set fire to the bulls? He had the bull. The idols of, yeah. Okay. Think about this. I've thought about this, and this is one of my favorite stories. He was sitting out there. They put, you know, they put the bulls out there. And he had the Balaam witch doctors or whatever you call them, priests, whatever, out there doing their little deal, and he'd make fun of them. He said, maybe they've gone out to eat, you know. Maybe they went to McDonald's. I don't know, whatever. Maybe they had to go to the bathroom. You know, he was just having a blast. But here's the kicker. He put God to the test. He said, I'll tell you what, when it was his time, he said, I'll tell you what, go get you a bunch of barrels of water. Pour them over the thing. Fill the trench up and do all that. Now, God didn't tell him to do that. But he knew that when he did all this stuff, he was going to put God to the test. And what happened? God licked it all up, didn't he? He got it all, did it all. And that's the attitude we ought to have. The biggest problem that comes up before you, go for it. Say, God, I'm going to test you out. That's God, because I'm going to pray for him and you're going to heal him. You do that and expect it, and you'll be like Elijah in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We got him right here in this temple now. He had to holler at him, but he's right here now. And he wants us to test him. He wants us to do that. And I tell you, another key to this is enduring in your faith to see it done. If it doesn't happen the first time you pray for them, grab your hands and say, okay, just do that. Get rid of it. And grab them and do it again. Don't be scared to do it. You say, bless God, we're going to get this thing. Devil, you got to go. And then do it again. How you feel now? Oh, man, it's much better now. Is it all gone? Yeah, it's all gone now. Then you say, praise God. Let's praise God. Always expect to get an immediate result. A lot of people like to do a progressive healing where it takes, you know, a few days. Man, I like to see it right away. Bam, let's go. Let's get it. Instantaneous. Yeah, Ben, or Ann, one of you S's.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the verse in John. John 19, verse 30, it is finished. So I don't know if that's the mentality you're supposed to have when you go, or when you're gonna go to heal someone, you know, it is finished, you know. And that sort of sounds like it's all done, it's finished, and that yeah. sort of sounds like you get the automatic response, yeah. you know, like the first time, you know. And if it didn't work the first time, maybe try it again, you know. I'm just wondering about that.
Well, yeah. I declare and decree you healed in the name of Jesus. You know, and that be healed. Yeah, it worked. Little girl in a church that they believed in healing, but it was during, you know, when the pastor comes up and he said, everybody get up and shake somebody's hand you never shook before, you know, that kind of garbage. I got up and I seen this elderly lady doing this to me. I said, okay, what's going on? And she said, my granddaughter says she's deaf in her right ear. Said, would you pray for her? I said, yeah, I'll pray for her. So I would reached up there and grabbed her, you know, said, in the name of Jesus, I command this deaf spirit off of her. You go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I stood back about a foot and a half and I whispered at her, can you hear me now? She said, yeah. God completely healed her right there. She'd been deaf in that ear her whole life. Praise God. And just know that you're setting these people free and they're getting out of bondage. And they'll go tell somebody else, God healed me. That's what happened. I don't believe your, you know, doctrine of God don't heal anymore. Go ahead, Joe.
In the beginning of the fellowship tonight, when I was we're talking about somebody wanted to share something, I was thinking about maybe sharing a vision I had last, or two visions last night. I think, no, maybe not, no. But now after you finish, I think I know what vision means. But I'll be quick. I was sitting in a chair and I could see underneath my chair and there was water on the ground. And I understand what we're talking about now tonight. This is, you can preach where you rest. Well, I was thinking about that. If somebody else did something else.
I didn't understand that last part. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
What did you mean, Joe, when you said you had a vision? You could see yourself sitting on a chair, but I lost you after that, what you said.
Yeah, I was sitting on a chair, but I could see underneath my chair. I was sitting and I could see underneath my chair. There was a pool of water on the ground.
Was it all water?
Yeah.
Pool of water, you said.
Yeah. Somebody else got something what that means. I was thinking about what Michael was talking about, but somebody else maybe got another interpretation.
Water was the word. Was it just sitting there? Was it moving?
No, it was just lying there. It was just a pool of water underneath my chair.
Ah. Yeah, you don't want your water to be stagnant, do you?
Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about. Sorry, Julia. Yeah. That's what we're talking about tonight. Get the water while where you're sitting or where you're resting or where you're.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. We've got to do the word.
Thank you.
Amen. Good vision. Yeah, Ozzy.
You know how in the word it says that you're neither hot nor cold. He'll spew out his mouth. That one. So I thought about that some time ago, and not saying that's what that's saying, Joe. That's not what I mean. But what I am saying is hot water. You know, it would be boiling, and boiling water is moving water. Cold water, back in those days especially, would be moving like in a stream, be moving water. But stagnant water is water that just sets, and that can breed bacteria and stuff. And I don't know what that means, but I just know that moving water, is hot and cold, and there's utility in that. I don't know, whatever that means.
Got it. More. Hey, we're out of time. Glory to God. And Lord, we just thank you for tonight, Father. I hope, Lord, that I pray, Lord, that these words get out and people will start doing the word instead of just reading the words. And I praise you. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I'll get all three of these out to y'all tonight. I think I've got them in word, so it should be a problem. All right, good night, y'all.